For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh all alone with you guys on a Friday. Hope everybody had a fantastic week and everything is wrapping up nicely. Heading into a weekend, hopefully the weather's beautiful wherever you guys are listening or watching this. And if you've got plans for the weekend, enjoy yourselves, live it up, have a great time. Today, I want to talk about more NFL draft stuff because we are just now 1 week away from day two of the NFL draft, and that's when we are going to be doing our live draft coverage in studio on YouTube covering day two, rounds two and three. We're going to be following all along the action, waiting for the Browns to be making their first couple picks of the draft, and we're going to be with you guys through it all. So please, next week, next Friday, April 26th, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, we are going to be live, so jump in the chat. Join us, follow along, talk about prospects, talk about what happened on the first night. On Thursday, we're going to recap everything from round one, talk about the implications, talk about the new players, the new teams, everything that happened, and who's still available on the board for the Browns in the second round. And as we go, who's still available in the third round. It's going to be a ton of fun. And we've got special guests coming to join us in studio. We've got Kenny Mack from Canada coming down south. We've got Derek Frisbee, DF Sports, coming up north from Columbus, and Devontae Travis is coming down south as well to join us in studio, and we're going to have a great crew, we're going to have a great time, and we really hope you guys will join us during the draft next Friday night on YouTube. And speaking of YouTube, if you guys are watching this there, make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, help continue to push us toward 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. That's a huge milestone for us, and we can't wait to hit it. And if you're listening on audio, especially Apple Podcasts, please scroll down to the bottom, leave us a 5-star written review. That really helps us get our show, our podcast, in front of more Browns fans like you guys. All you got to do is tap 5 stars and leave any comment you want with it. Great show, great podcast. Love the guys. Information is cool. Whatever. Just whatever you want to say, just drop a line or two in there. And that's all you got to do. So the big thing, the main topic I want to cover on the show today, just again, a week out from Andrew Berry and the Cleveland Browns being on the clock, what are the Browns going to do in the draft? And there was a great tweet posted by, and forgive me if I'm getting your name wrong, Tej Seth, and this is from SummerSports.com, and it's a breakdown by percentage of all the GMs in the National Football League and how they allocate their draft capital in their tenure as their team's GM. So Andrew Berry, he has four drafts under his belt now. By the way, guys, the consistency in our front office is something that we still don't feel like there's definitely a section of the fan base that is not used to this. We have the same coach. We have the same front office. There hasn't been a whole lot of turnover other than, you know, the positional coaches, which we detailed plenty of times that that's what good teams do. You keep your main guys in place and you move out your positional guys as needed. But the Browns have consistency. So now we've got data to track on this stuff. And they did a really good job putting this together. So Andrew Berry's track record in the NFL draft, how is he allocating the Browns draft capital by position, essentially? So this gives, when I was reading through this and looking at the data and the numbers, because I'm an analytical person. I like looking at the stats and the numbers and seeing what kind of story they tell. And I know Andrew Berry is a very analytical person, and he plays by the numbers a lot too. And these numbers have shaped some of my opinions and some of my, I don't know if they're really hot takes, but just some of my true gut feelings for what the Browns are going to do next weekend. And we'll just break it down here. So let's just look at the numbers. So at the quarterback position, 2.5%. Running back position, 3.7%. Wide receiver position, 14.5%. So that's a big jump there at that position. Tight end, 3%. Back down. Offensive line, 20.5%. So we see our first 20-plus percent allocation to a position. Defensive line, 28.4%. So right there, you see that Andrew Berry and the Browns front office heavily dedicates draft capital to the trenches. Linebacker, just 3.5%, and defensive back, 21.2%. So if you're listening, following along with those numbers, the highest percentage position that gets the most attention by the Browns front office and Andrew Berry is the defensive line at 28.4%. The second highest is the defensive backfield, 21.2%, and third is the offensive line, 20.5%. Now, among all the others, everything else is under 5%, except wide receiver is at 14.5%. So you kind of get an idea of the value the Browns place on each position in the draft. And looking at these numbers, maybe this is a bold take. I want to know what you guys think in the comments. Let me know. I'm going into the draft and I'm thinking Andrew Berry is not going to draft a linebacker. I know it might sound kind of crazy to some of you guys because that seems to be the biggest need for the Browns on their roster. You know, yes, we signed Jordan Hicks. Yes, we signed Devin Bush. Of course, we got JOK, the outside linebacker. Tony Fields is still there. What is the future like for the Browns in the inside, the middle linebacker position, the interior of the linebacking core? Well, Jordan Hicks is here on a 2-year deal. Devin Bush is here on a 1. It's like a prove it deal. You know, can you revitalize your career, which started out phenomenally? It really did. And then, you know, ever since his injury tapered off, we talked about that. But again, new team, new system, new defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz. If he can't get the most out of Devin Bush, then career is likely going to just go into that, if he continues to play, journeyman backup type of role. But we'll see what happens with him. But the linebacker position is not one that we've seen the Browns. Oh, man, I don't know how to say this. I'm trying to figure out a good way to say this without sounding like a dick about it. They just don't care about it. I there's really no other way to say it. The Browns just don't care. I mean, if you look at their position or by the draft breakdown, the lowest is quarterback. Of course, that makes sense because Andrew Berry started with Baker Mayfield, traded for Deshaun Watson. The only quarterback he's drafted is DTR. That one, I throw that low percentage out. It might as well just be zero, except for the DTR swing last year that they took. The lowest draft allocation is linebacker at 3.5%. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it would be tight end at 3%. But tight end's another one that they do not value super heavily in terms of the draft. But the reason that I would put more stock in them drafting a tight end this year than a linebacker goes to not just the draft allocation, that's the start of this opinion, but it goes to also the positional spending by the team. Right now, the Browns have three positions on the team And I need to dig a little deeper into seeing why this one number is the way it is. And yeah, that doesn't make I guess I kind of get it. Anyway, the three positions, if take the team spending by position breakdown. Linebacker, the Browns are allocating just under 5% of the cap, the total cap, to the linebacker position. They are at 4.96%, and then at tight end, 4.39%, and at running back, 4.31%. Those are the only three positions outside of special teams, which would be your kicker, punter, long snapper. Those are the three positions that not only are they the only ones in single digits in terms of total percent allocated, they are all three under 5%. So collectively, linebacker, tight end, and running back do not even make up 15% of the spending of the Cleveland Browns roster. And I know there's probably a lot of you guys out there screaming, well, no kidding, most of it's tied up in the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, okay, the quarterback position is the highest percent of the cap, but for any team that has what they feel to be their franchise quarterback, and despite what fans might think, the Browns clearly believe they have their franchise quarterback with Deshaun Watson. That's going to be the case for any of these teams. That's going to be the case for the Chiefs, for the Bengals, for the Chargers, for the Ravens, for the Eagles. Any team that believes they have their franchise quarterback in tow, it's going to be the highest percent of their cap right there at the quarterback position. But then if you drop down, what are the next three highest spending allocations on the Browns cap? They're the same as the three highest spots that they draft: offensive line, defensive line, and wide receiver. And the secondary spending is right there, pretty much even with the wide receiver. So what they value in the draft and what they value in terms of cap dollars are complete mirrors of each other. So that's why, looking at all this information, I am dialing back my expectations on a few things. So I know we've talked about Trey Benson on the show. We've talked about, well, could the Browns get a very good running back or a pretty decent running back in this draft higher up? Talked with Brian Bosarge about, you know, he said if you want Benson, it's going to have to be at 54. He will not be around at 85. I don't think the Browns draft a running back in the second round. I don't know if the Browns draft a running back at all. The reason being, now there are some guys throughout the mid rounds that I do like that could be available, but there's a name, we talked with Brian about this too, Rasheen Ali from Marshall could be an undrafted free agent that the Browns could immediately go after and get, and he could produce. There are linebackers, there are tight ends. I don't know if the Browns are really focusing on you. They've got six picks now that we made the trade. We traded Leroy Watson over to Tennessee to get an extra seventh. I still don't know what the Browns are going to be. Six picks. It's not, I mean, yes, most teams, you know, you get seven to each year to mess around with. We have six, and I don't know if we're going to utilize any of those on any of the three positions that the Browns don't have a high positional value on. So that's why I'm looking at in the first round, second round, or I'm sorry, not the first round, the first pick that we have in the second round. My gut is leaning toward offensive line or defensive line. I think that's where they're going to probably be focusing a lot of their draft board, especially higher up with the more valuable picks. They prioritize it with their pick allocation. They prioritize those positions with their spending. So offensive line and defensive line, they'll probably see who's falling to them there. Wide receiver, yes, that could happen. I could see them going wide receiver in the second round if, and they probably only have one or two guys on their board that they deem worthy, positional value-wise, of that second round pick. And if any of those guys that they like aren't there, they're not going wide receiver just for the sake of going wide receiver. I think they're going to go O-line or D-line. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of Michael Hall, and you know there's a couple offensive linemen that could be available in that range, maybe like a Cooper Beebe, and you know an offensive guard who I think could step in from day one and be a starter if we needed to. It would give us some flexibility with the cap, with Wyatt Teller's contract. There's different things the Browns might be looking to do here. But I'm tempering all expectations at the running back position. I'm leaning toward, like I said before, I don't think they draft a linebacker. I could be completely wrong, and maybe they use a high pick or any of those picks on linebacker. And okay, that's fine. If there's somebody that they're like, hey, I cannot believe this guy is sitting here at pick, whatever, 227. Let's get him. Let's just take this linebacker. We think he could be pretty good. And Brian made a good point on the episode last weekend about, you know, there could be players that the Browns say, okay, we think this guy will be available after the draft. He's going to be a UDFA, but he's a good talent at that, you know, for UDFA, and there's going to be a big push for teams to go try to get him. Well, let's just use this last seventh round pick we have. Let's grab him now so we don't have to fight with everybody. Something like that could happen at the linebacker or the running back position. As far as tight end goes, I don't know if the Browns really want to burn any sort of draft capital on a tight end outside of the main guys. They've interviewed Jatavion Sanders from Texas. They've interviewed Eric All from Iowa. And as far as tight ends go, those are the two main guys. My favorite tight end in this draft, outside of Brock Bowers, is Ben Sennett from Kansas State. I think that if the Browns could land him, but again, it would probably have to be 85 or higher to get a guy like Ben Sennett. But I think that he could come in and be a very good contributing second tight end behind David Njoku. And Sennett has blocking ability that you could bring him in and have him do some of the blocking duties that would free up Njoku to maybe move out into the big slot role more often, which I would like. And again, that's one of those situations where if a wide receiver is not available at 54 or 85 that the Browns really like, get a guy like Ben Sennett so that way you can utilize David Njoku even more in the passing game and you don't have to worry about just trying to grab a wide receiver in the draft just for the sake of doing so. So that's kind of my quick spiel on the numbers and using the analytics to give some thoughts on what are we expecting in a week for the Browns to start doing throughout the draft. I'm thinking they come away with two offensive linemen, a D lineman, probably a wide receiver, a cornerback, and you know that's five right there. So your last pick, assuming there's no trading or further accumulation of picks, maybe a late running back, maybe a tight end in there somewhere, maybe a linebacker. I'm going against that. I don't know if they even use draft capital at the linebacker position at all. So we'll see. Drop in the comments. Let me know what you guys think. What are the vibes you're getting when you're looking at things, you're reading about what the Browns are doing, and who are just some of your personal favorite prospects that you think, man, if the Browns could land this guy, that would be great. Let us know who they are, because we'll talk about all your guys, everybody that you guys like. We'll talk about this stuff during the live draft show on Friday. This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, nothing says summer is on its way like the taste of a juicy, tender burger that is grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection like Omaha Steaks. And right now, when you guys go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, you can order the limited time Burger Perfection Flight. This is one of my favorite deals from last year that they did, and I'm so glad they're doing it again. You guys get 24 mouthwatering steak burgers, not just regular burgers, freaking steak burgers. The pure ground filet mignon burgers, the New York strip burgers, the ribeye burgers, the brisket burgers, the sirloin burgers, and the all new porterhouse burgers. And you get all of that for just $89.99 when you use our code DAWGSDOGS when you check out. Each 6 ounce burger is filled with flavor, from the mild and tender filet mignon to the rich and buttery ribeye. The quality and deliciousness of these burgers can only come from Omaha Steaks, and they are guaranteed to satisfy. And guys, at $3.75 a patty, you really can't beat that with the price of food right now. And the price of meat in the grocery stores is absolutely ridiculous. You cannot beat this deal. $90, $89.99 for 24 of these phenomenal, delicious, awesome steak burgers. And you get all of that when you use code DOGS at checkout. Go to omahasteaks.com. Order the Burger Perfection Flight today, and do not forget to use that promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out to get everything, the 24 delicious burgers. Hurry, because these supplies are limited. Take advantage of this opportunity now before supplies run out. OmahaSteaks.com/DOGS, promo code DOGS. Before we move on, Ohio, Bet365 is offering new users $150 in bonus bets this month. To receive your bonus bets, all you have to do is sign up for Bet365 using our link, make a first deposit of $10, and place a $5 wager on any game. Once that first $5 bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet. To be eligible for this sign-up bonus, you must sign up through our link down in the description. So if you haven't yet signed up for Bet365, click our link in the description and place that first bet. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you can qualify.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
So one last thing today that I want to talk about, and this is all for you, Mr. Gage Tucker. Gage Tucker is one of our most active Patreon members. He is a dog pack member to the core. We love Gage, and he has a lot of opinions on NFL draft prospects every year. He does a lot of research. He follows this stuff closely, and we get a lot of good intel from our dog pack community. We're talking to these guys every single day, all the time, and, you know, they have so much insight on different things, and it just really, really helps. Honestly, it really helps grow the show, and it helps the content of the show a lot. So again, just real quick as a side note, if you're interested in becoming a Dog Pack member and joining that group and meeting everybody and being a part of that community, join thedogs.com, become an official Patreon member, and jump in, introduce yourself, and just It's a great group of Browns fans. There's no negative Nancys and none of this BS in there that you see on social media. It is like our own online Browns backers club. It's awesome. Highly recommend. You get a 7-day free trial to start out, and you can get in that way and just kind of see what you think. But all the action takes place in the private Discord, which you get access to by joining the Patreon. You get After Hours episode every week. That's a fun show that we do. All kinds of cool stuff. Just wanted to plug that real quick. But Gage Tucker has brought a wide receiver name to our attention that we weren't even looking at this guy, thinking anything about him. He's from a smaller school. So the competition he played against, the cornerbacks he was facing, not the best. Not the best. So there's definitely some, those would go on his cons list for a lot of these, you know, scouting boards and things like that. But we're going to talk about Jalen Coker, the wide receiver from Holy Cross. And the reason we're going to talk about Jalen Coker is because, one, Gage Tucker told us to, and because everything that Gage told us about Jalen Coker sounded pretty damn good. And when I started researching him and looking into it, I thinking, okay, the biggest hang up with this kid is his competition in college. Really, that's truly what it comes, it's what it boils down to for me anyway, based on what I'm seeing. It just, there's a lot of question marks again about, okay, he kind of dominated these lesser, you know, talented school guys. How's that going to translate to the NFL, where everybody's going up against is a professional defensive back? We will see, because this guy's definitely getting drafted. And the other reason that I like looking at Jalen Coker for the Browns, you wouldn't have to use 54 or 85 probably to get him. I think we could get him, you know, a little bit later in the draft. So let's just talk about Jalen Coker. 6'1", 208 pounds. He is a senior, but he's 22 years old. So he's still in that age range that Andrew Berry likes. He, now this is another, I guess this is a negative. He ran a 4.57 40-yard dash. So not burner speed, but again, take the 40, especially for guys like wide receivers, take the 40 with a grain of salt, because what your speed is like on the field matters a whole hell of a lot more, Anthony Schwartz, than your speed on a track. It's just the way it is. So, and 4.57 is not slow by any means. It's not 4.2 like Xavier Worthy, but, you know, 4.5, still respectable, can get the job done. So I'll just read a couple things here. So this is from his official NFL draft combine profile. The evaluation for Coker boils down to balancing his pro caliber size and ball skills against his level of competition, like I said, and potential lack of NFL quickness and speed. His focus, ball tracking, and timing give him distinct advantages that other receivers lack, and his catch radius and hand strength helped him make mincemeat of Ivy League coverages near the goal line. Coker's deep speed appears to be average, so he will need to refine his route running to become better equipped to beat NFL defenders in space and open up workable windows for his quarterback. Coker is talented and productive, but the testing numbers will be huge for his draft slotting and chances in the league. So when I was just looking basically at his stats, what was his college production like? 2021, again, everything I'm about to tell you guys impressed the crap out of me. So 2021, he had 51 receptions, 714 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So that's pretty good. That would have been his, what, sophomore year. It's pretty young. If he's 22 now, he would have been, what, 20-ish then? Something like that, 1920. That's very nice. Followed that season up with 50 receptions, 915 yards, and 11 touchdowns. And then he ended his college career this past season with 59 receptions, 1,035 yards, and 15 touchdowns. So he had 30 touchdowns in college. And I talked with Brian Bosarge about touchdowns being a sticky stat that translates from college to the NFL. If you're skilled at producing touchdowns in college, there's a much better chance you're going to produce touchdowns in the NFL. Whereas if you were not very good at manufacturing touchdowns in college, what are the chances you're going to suddenly become good at it in the NFL? The chances are a lot lower. So I like to see that. Another thing, PFF receiving grade, 90.6. Top ranked. Well, I don't want to say he's number one, but he's at the top of this class with its guys. 3.51 yards per route run. That's high. As soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, I like that number. That's a high number. 3.3% drop rate, just 2 drops on 89 targets in 2023. That's fantastic. 52.2% catch or contested catch rate. I'll take that. Anything over 50 is usually pretty nice. And is great against man coverage, 79.4. He had 11 missed tackles forced, 13 deep catches for 504 deep yards. That was the 21st most in the entire nation last season. So Jalen Coker, while he's not going to be a high-end, highly sought-after type of receiver in this draft, I think, and Gage, again, thank you very much for bringing him to our attention. I think this kid has sneaky under-the-radar upside, where if he can succeed and beat NFL-level talent in the defensive backfield, I think he's got the skills, the catching skills, the ball skills, the size, the strength, and I think he's got all the tools he needs to put it together to become a reliable receiver in the NFL. Now, is he like this under the radar? He's going to be a number one alpha dog receiver? No, that's not what I'm saying. Any of these guys can turn into that. That's why the draft is a crapshoot. You don't know. But with the futures of Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore being somewhat uncertain, getting a guy like Jalen Coker to come in and say he develops and he becomes a reliable wide receiver 3 for an NFL team. We could use a reliable wide receiver 3. Are you kidding me? We're hoping Jerry Jeudy turns into a reliable wide receiver 1 over the next, you know, couple years. And, you know, next year again, we'll get our first round pick back. Maybe we allocate that toward a high-end wide receiver coming out next year. We'll see what the draft class is bringing to us. Maybe the Browns use that pick to trade next year for, you know, a guy that to come in, kind of like the Eagles did with A.J. Brown or something like of that, you know, caliber. Who knows? But But Jalen Coker is a name to keep an eye on, and I told Gage I would talk about him on the show. So here we are, Gage. We're doing it because I am pretty impressed with this kid, and I think that if the Browns were able to snag him, that would be great. Another name that I wanted to mention is Aeneas Smith from Texas A&M. Now, he's a smaller receiver. He's like 5'9", 190 pounds. So he's small, but he's thick. He's a little heavier, bulkier. And what I liked about Aeneas Smith is he's somebody the Browns could land later in the draft, and he is touted on all the scouting sites as a coach's dream player because he does everything. He is a willing blocker, run blocker, pass blocker. He doesn't care. He'll do it. He has spent, I think he started his college career at the running back position, transitioned out to wide receiver. So he's got running back experience, wide receiver experience, can play in the slot. He can do a lot on in the return game. And I did a mock draft that I'll be posting probably this weekend on social media. And in my mock draft, I landed Jalen Coker with the Browns' third pick in the draft. And then with the very last pick, Aeneas Smith was still on the board, so I took him too. I doubled up, double tapped that wide receiver position because, again, the futures of Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore are not certain. We know moving forward we will have Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman. What's going to happen with David Bell? Don't know if he's long for this roster or not. So doubling up on wide receiver potential, and again, they don't pan out. They don't pan out. That's why you take a swing at this position every single year, and that's what the Browns do. They've doubled up at wide receiver before. I believe it was, a couple years ago, they grabbed Schwartz and – David Bell and Michael Woods, I think it was. So could they double up at the position again this year? I did in my mock draft because I like those two receivers for the value they bring at the position you can get them at in the draft. So that's just a quick spiel on a bunch of draft stuff. Just wanted to update everybody on what's going on with the Browns, what I'm thinking, and all that good stuff as we are now a week out from doing our live show, our annual live show on YouTube. We love doing it. It's a ton of fun. It is a grind. It's 3+ hours of live stream talking, but we've got plenty of guys going to be in studio bringing you the content, and it's going to be a ton of fun. So make sure Friday night, the 26th, you guys jump in our YouTube chat. You know, watch the draft on TV, but don't listen to their BS commentary. Put us up, talk to us, listen to us, and we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time, and we're just excited to see what the Browns do. We've been doing all the guesswork, all the speculation, educated speculation, of course, because that's what we do here at the Dogs Podcast. But it's time to get some answers. It's time to get it all laid on the table and see who the new Cleveland Browns are and start diving in. I can't wait to do deep dives into the guys we actually take, because I've been doing deep dives into players that I want the Browns to take. And now I just want to know who it's going to be so that we can start learning who they are. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. Thank you for following the show. We love you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the channel on YouTube, like the video, tap the notification bell so you don't miss anything new, so you don't miss that. Well, you get your notification on Friday night when we're going live. We might go live maybe 10-15 minutes early just to get a jump start on things. And just a lot of good stuff happening right now for the podcast, a lot of good stuff happening for the Browns, and it wouldn't be possible without you guys following along. So thank you again. We appreciate it. And until I talk to you guys next time, on Sunday, we're going to have an episode come out, and myself and Kenny Mack are going to be doing a head-to-head battle mock draft for you guys. So there's going to be some ground rules we're going to lay down at the front of that episode. And at the end, he'll have mock draft results, I'll have mock draft results, and you guys get to vote on who did it better. Kenny, it's on. So I can't wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. And if you've missed, we've been doing a lot of interviews lately, so if you've missed any of those episodes, go check them out. We had Matt McCrane, the kicker who was on the Browns practice squad in 2020 and 2021. He came on. He's kicking right now for the DC Defenders. Just had a game winner. I think it was last weekend. The dude is on fire right now over in the UFL. You never know. He might make his way back into the NFL, maybe even with the Browns. He's got ties here, and he loves Cleveland. So check out that episode, that interview. I had Brian Bosarge on last weekend talking draft prospects. He's awesome. That was a ton of fun. And we just had Jake Burns from OBR talking about the new offensive scheme for the Browns and what the offense is going to look like compared to what it's looked like in the past under Kevin Stefanski. So guys, check all that stuff out. It's great stuff. And until I see you guys on Sunday with Kenny Mack, let's go Browns.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.